Also want to just mention something rather personal. I don't usually do this kind of thing from pulpit, but 49 years ago this morning, it was not a Sunday, and about this time of the morning I was mowing grass at what at that time was Pet Milk Company on 6th Avenue in Decatur. Had a lot of things going through my mind because that night, Diane and I got married 49 years ago. And I have been truly blessed to have such a wonderful and patient and forgiving wife for 49 years. She's put up with a lot. She's told somebody last night that's a long time to be married to anybody, and especially a fudge. If you've never been around my family, you wouldn't understand that. But I am thankful, and I just thank God that we've had the time together, and just pray that we can have a lot more years still together. Glad you're here this morning. We do appreciate it. It's always good to have you, and it's already been mentioned, we do have visitors, and we appreciate having visitors with us. I'd like for us this morning to talk about get wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 16, and verse 16, we read how much better it is to get wisdom than gold. And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. We need to understand that wisdom is to be cherished. It's to be sought after. It's something that is extremely important. If you've ever read the book of Proverbs, and I'm sure that all of you have, then you know the emphasis that is put on wisdom, and especially in the first several chapters of that book. In Proverbs 19 and verse 8, he says, "He who gets wisdom loves his own soul, and he who keeps understanding will find good." In chapter 23 and verses 22 and 23, he says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding." In chapter 4 and verses 1 through 9, he says, "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me, and he said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, and keep my commandments, and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you.'" He is personifying wisdom in this last verse here. He then says that the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. I want you to think about that. Here is the wisest man that ever lived, and he wrote these words, and he says that the beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace and she'll present you with a crown of beauty. And so we need to understand that wisdom and understanding go together. Again, in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he says, "My son, if you'll receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures." And so we see over and over and over again the importance of wisdom and understanding and discernment. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11, "For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you." And so we see the importance of it, and we see that above everything else, we need to get this wisdom and this understanding and this discernment so that we can know how to live and know what our lives really are all about. We see as we think about it, how do we get wisdom? How do we come up with this wisdom that we're going to get? Well, True wisdom comes from God. We're going to talk about another wisdom in a little bit, but right now I just want to look at the fact that true wisdom comes from God. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." If we really want to be wise in this life, then we will look to God for wisdom. Same chapter of Proverbs, dropping down to verse 27, beginning. He says, "When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof, so they shall eat of the bread, the fruit of their own way, and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil." And so if we want true wisdom, we need to understand that true wisdom comes from God. He says in Proverbs 2, verses 2 through 6, "Make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." And so if we want to know what really matters in life, if we want to know what's really important, if we want to know how to live our lives and how to order our lives properly, then we must look to God, because true wisdom comes from God. Now, if I'm going to get the wisdom of God, I must study the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, there beginning in the latter part of verse 8, he says, "In all wisdom and insight he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him," talking about Christ, "with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth." In Colossians 1, in verse 9, we read, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So it's not just in the book of Proverbs. Throughout the New Testament, we read also that we are to have our wisdom from God, and it comes from the Word of God. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, a passage that most of us are familiar with, but sometimes we may overlook this part, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And so we have to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Let it fill up our minds and our hearts if we're going to have wisdom to do the things that God would have us to do. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul says to the young preacher Timothy that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And we can go on and see how that it is through this wisdom that comes from God that we know how to serve God, and that only comes from the Word of God. And so we must study diligently the Word of God if we're going to have the wisdom to lead us in this life. It's the only way we can get His wisdom. But there is something else, though, that also is included, and that is we must pray for wisdom. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, James says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." And so, yes, we need to study the Word of God, but then we pray to God for wisdom so that we can have this understanding, so that we can have this discernment, so that we can have the ability to know how to live for God and to be all that He would have us to be. You know, everybody lives by some philosophy of life. We all base our lives on some kind of philosophy. We may not think so. We may not even know what it is. But the fact is, all of us have based our lives on some philosophy of life. Now, it's either based on earthly, human-type wisdom, or it's based on the wisdom of God. These are the only two kinds of wisdom there are, and all of us have based our lives on one or the other. And the fact is, there are people that are not Christians, but they have based their lives on the wisdom of God to a large degree. Not totally, but to a large degree. On the other hand, there are those that claim to be Christians who have based their lives on human philosophies and human wisdom rather than that which comes from God. And so we need to understand that both of these wisdoms are described in Scripture in James chapter 3. Beginning there in verse 13, James says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom." You can see the wisdom that a man or a woman, a person is living by looking at their life and looking at the way that they live. James continues, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, it's natural, it's demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. When we look around, whether it be in our homes, or we look around in our communities, we look around in our nation, or we look around in the world, when we see disorder and we see evil abounding, it is because there are those who are living by the philosophies of human wisdom rather than the wisdom of God. James goes on and he says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. It's unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is sown is in the free, the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And so as we think about that, we see that both of these wisdoms are demonstrated in Genesis chapter 3 in verses 1 through 6. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, as God said to you, you shall not from eat from any tree of the garden." And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." Now there's some divine wisdom. That's God's wisdom. He told Adam and Eve, he said, "Now you can have any of the fruits you want in this garden, just enjoy it to the fullest, except for that one tree that's over there in the middle of the garden, and don't touch it. Don't eat it, don't touch it, and if you do, you're going to die." That's pretty simple. I would say that probably anybody here that can read could read that up there and understand exactly what God said and what He meant. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Now let's look at some human wisdom. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Now what's Eve going to do? Here's two philosophies. One of them is that God says, if you eat this fruit, you're going to die. And Satan says, if you eat this fruit, you're going to be wise. Now what's she going to do? Well, the woman saw the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes. It looked good. Tree was desirable to make one wise. Surely she wanted to be wise. She took from his fruit and she ate, and she gave to her husband also with her, and he ate. Now that's human wisdom. That's wisdom that brought sin into the world and trouble and problems, because they did not listen to God. Divine wisdom says, do what God says. Divine wisdom that comes from above, that is pure and peaceable and gentle and reasonable and full of good fruits and all of those things, is the wisdom that says my life will be better if I follow the will of God, if I listen to Him. Human philosophy and human wisdom says, no, that's not true. You hadn't got to worry about that. Just live life to the fullest and enjoy it and don't worry about God. Look at Genesis 4. Came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought the firstling of his flock and their fat portion. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. You could just see him. He's mad, he's pouting, he was upset. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Now here's Cain, and he's upset. He's got all this jealousy that we read about, you remember, that comes from human wisdom. He's got this selfish ambition that comes from human wisdom. And he's thinking about himself and not thinking about anything else. And he's mad at his brother and he's mad at God because his sacrifice was not as pleasing as was his brother's Abel. So Cain told Abel about it. It came about when they were out in the field that Cain rose up and against Abel, his brother, and he killed him. You see, Cain put his trust in himself instead of God. That's earthly wisdom. The result was that he murdered his brother Abel. If we go back and we look at James 3, verses 15 and 16, he says this wisdom is not from above, but rather it's earthly, it's natural, it's demonic. And there you have jealousy and selfish ambition, disorder and every evil thing. And as we look at that, we see that this is exactly what happened with Cain that we just looked at. Jesus demonstrated wisdom in his life when he was 12 years old. You remember he had gone to the temple, and after he had found his parents and they had found him, and he went back home, and it says that Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54, he came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue. They were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? And so Jesus demonstrated wisdom in the things that he did, and he demonstrated wisdom in the things that he taught, and the people were in awe because of his great wisdom, and his wisdom came from God. And that's the wisdom that we're to have. Human wisdom cannot save us. Only the wisdom that comes from God. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there beginning in verse 18, he says, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. In other words, he's saying that people that think they're wise are really not wise. They just think they are. God will set that aside. It won't mean a thing. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Going over to chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, and we really could have read the whole first three chapters of 1 Corinthians to get this point, but I just want to pick out just a few verses. He says, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age or of the rulers of this age who are passing away. You see, we need to think about this morning, are we living by the wisdom of the world? It's natural, it's demonic, it's earthly. Is that the wisdom that guides us? Or are we living by the wisdom that comes from above? The wisdom that is from God. The first leads to unrest now and eternal destruction, but God's wisdom will give us peace and joy with eternal life in heaven. And I thought about as I was preparing this lesson, as getting it together, I thought about some of the events that have taken place recently in our world and what our reaction as Christians are, the shooting in Dallas as well as some of the others. And you, if you're on Facebook or listen to social media of any kind, you know there's been a wide variety of reactions to this as well as other things. Some of the political events that have taken place recently in our country. And as we look at these, what does God's wisdom tell us as Christians we should do? You know, the first thing that came to my mind is the Beatitudes and how that Jesus said so many times, you've heard that it is said, but I say unto you. And as I thought about that, I thought about Jesus said, you know, we are to love our enemies and pray for them, do good to them. Is that the reaction that we have as Christians, or do we have that earthly wisdom that has the retaliation that says, I want to get even, or whatever we can do to them that's bad? What kind of wisdom do we have when it comes to those that we would consider our enemies? Do we have God's wisdom when it comes to respecting the authority of those that are in power over us? We may disagree with them strongly, and there are some of them that I disagree with about as strongly as anybody can. And I believe that they have been following the wisdom of this world, which has led to a lot of the strife and the problems that we have in this world, and especially in our country. But the fact is, I am told by God that I am to pray for our rulers. I'm to respect our rulers and show them the honor that is due them for the positions that they hold. We need to remember that this was written during the Roman Empire, when probably some of the most ungodly people that have ever lived were in control and in power. And so today, even though we have some pretty wicked people in some pretty high places, it doesn't even come close to what they had in the Roman Empire. And yet, as Christians, we are to follow the wisdom of God. And we are to love our enemies, and we're to pray for our enemies. We're to do good for them. I would challenge each of us to think seriously about our reaction before we say anything, and certainly before we do anything. But today, we need to bring it down to a personal level and say, what am I going to choose to do? How am I going to react to God's wisdom as opposed to earthly wisdom? This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, what you need to do is you need to come to God and accept His wisdom that He offers in Jesus Christ. Paul said that Jesus is the wisdom of God. Are we willing to accept His wisdom? This morning, if you're not a Christian, you can come in faith and confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Turn away from sin and be baptized into Christ and then live for Him into eternity. If you're here this morning, you're subject to His invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?